Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Welcome to Unchained from the State Fair, Zolgad and Patrick Royce. And Patrick, on this gorgeous day, what is on your mind?
Well, let's start with, were you a fair regular as a youth or not?
No, I was not.
You guys, so you and your family didn't come, huh?
I think my dad brought us once and decided that was it. Didn't have the most patience in the world.
He didn't like the lines. He wasn't. Didn't like going into the pocket, probably.
Or the parking.
5 minutes. Or the park. Oh, the parking.
Didn't like
too.
The parking either, because that took
true.
Some time.
Of course, the big advantage of being a Hubbard worker is that we get the good transportation over here. So that makes life a whole lot easier. Well, a lot of things are on my mind, but number one is... No bigger Francisco Lindor fan than me when he played for Cleveland, right?
Yep.
The Mets give him $321 million.
Mm-hmm.
They pay him as if he is Trout, right?
Yes.
That seemed a little excessive to me, but I loved him anyway, and he's, what, 24, 25, something like that. Cleveland gets rid of him. So he goes to the Mets, and he's been pretty bad, right? Not mm-hmm. done much, and then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So now his buddy Javier Baez shows up, right? And Javier's was hitting nothing, doing nothing for the Cubs. And he's gotten to the Mets, and he hit like a home run his first game or something.
Yes,
and they cheered him.
Yep.
And then he went 2 weeks without getting a hit, and the Mets... who were basically in first place when they made these trades, are 8-19 for August, right? 8-19 for August. So Javier gets mad because he's getting booed when he hits.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to Francisco and says, don't you think it'd be a good idea if we do something good and the Mets cheer us, the fans cheer us, that we give them a thumbs down? We'll boo him back, give him a thumbs down.
Yep.
And Lindor, I've read stories about Lindor like being this unusual, upbeat, fat, you know, teammate that everybody loves and guys that reach out to the fans, and fans in Cleveland loved him. He did all this stuff in the community. Says, yeah, that's a good idea. What the hell? What is wrong with these morons? In New York, you're going to taunt the fans?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and Sandy Alderson, of course, who goes way back to when the A's were powerhouse, and he put those teams together with La Russa, is now has had to be brought back to run the Mets again because the last two or couple of guys that they had trying to run them were morons, And so Sandy, I see, goes nuts, releases a statement that we're not going to put up with this. But does Baez know what it's going to sound like the next time he bats in Citi Field?
I don't think he thought it through.
No. What the hell? What is wrong with you? And then he brings his kid, and he brings the two-year-old with him, let's ban children from press conferences, okay?
They're props.
Even if you win the damn Super Bowl, you can't bring a kid with you, okay?
All right.
You can't bring a kid with you. It's a $100,000 fine if you bring a kid with you to the press conference, right?
Yep.
anywhere in professional sports. We don't care if you got a little two-year-old brat with you. You're still a moron for explaining to me why you did thumbs down to the fans. You know, at least be smart enough to say, let them guess. Let them guess.
Yeah.
Don't say, we're giving it back to the fans.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, and why would you do it at all? I mean, there's no... You've been bad. That's the thing about it.
Yeah, there's no upside. There's no upside. And then, of course, Javier Baez says, well, it doesn't bother me. They're booing me, but it doesn't bother me, but it hurts me. You know, well which is it? You're not, you know, man alive. In New York. Oh, I can't think of anything stupider.
There is no more fun dysfunction than New York dysfunction, though. I think New York might be the great.
Yeah.
When you got good dysfunction there, because you got the tabloids, you got a fan base, maybe Philadelphia.
Well, how about the Yankees this year? The Yankees, they had more obits written for them about how stupid this whole operation was. Cashman's a moron. Has all these right-handed hitters, and this team's, you know, got no life in it. They're going to finish fourth, and now they lost two in a row to Oakland. Before that, they'd won 13 in a row. They're basically a cinch to be a wild card, and everybody's talking about, man alive, are they going to be hard to beat with this great lineup they put together? And which is it? You know, it's. I mean, that's New York, and everyone who wrote the obits for the Yankees is now saying, boy, all those people who wrote the obits for the Yankees are idiots, aren't they? You know, you just got to forget that you wrote the obits.
Yeah, you've got to move on from that and then take credit for saying that they're smart.
Yeah.
But the Mets, 2 months ago, like you were saying?
Well, the Mets were
fantastic.
The Mets were leading the mediocre NL East for, 3 months, right?
Yeah, you are correct.
The Braves won 10 out of 12, and now they're seven ahead of them or something like that. So that division is terrible, but man alive, I saw that, and I first saw it before the reaction had taken off, right? And I said, this ain't going to be good. And then about an hour later, I saw Sandy was releasing statements, and they were getting vilified all over the country. And now they're going to have to come out and apologize. And that is not going to do you any good in New York, for goodness sakes, man alive.
If I'm not mistaken, Pat, because I went to a Mets game as a fan shortly after Piazza got traded there. I want to say it was 98 when the Marlins flipped him to the Mets. And he got off to a bad start and was just absolutely booed. But he just, you know, he didn't care. He just moved on from it. And then eventually they grew to love him. So it's probably a bad idea.
New York is the town with more wealth than any place else in the world, but also more people who resent wealth than any place in the world. So if you're making a whole lot of money as an athlete and not succeeding, they're going to turn on you. And we will do it, too. You know, one reason we're mad at Cousins is because he's making so much money, right?
Yes.
But
not like that.
Not like that. But it's you know, I mean, Lindor, to me, is stupider than Baez because Lindor's on a 8 or 10 year contract for $321 million
in New
York. I did, too. I did, too.
Just in his case, I wouldn't think he'd participate.
How he joined in was just absolutely brilliant.
Can you imagine if Cousins had signed with the Jets instead of coming here? Because they offered him more.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Kirk playing for the Jets?
Yeah, it probably probably wouldn't work well. No, it is amazing the animosity towards him. Now, I don't know, is this all Viking fandom or just the comments that I read that are usually the more, you know, the comments are always the people who hate everybody, but it's amazing how I don't know what he's going to be able to do to get out of the doghouse. Even if he's
if he's
merely good, that's not going to be enough, is
nope.
it?
Nope.
No, I mean they people are after him, man. And that again, as I said, it's part of the resentments. He's making too much money, you know.
Well, and he's got his supporters, but unfortunately for him, the head coach isn't one of them.
Now, Zim hasn't done anything in the last week to indicate his unhappiness with him, has he? He hasn't said anything in the last week.
Not publicly, no, but, you know, it's just from the whole vaccination thing, from the start of that this year, I think that gave Zim the final go-ahead to resent his quarterback.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any doubt that he's not his kind of guy because, you know, I think Zim likes the guy who doesn't talk a lot, doesn't give the – if somebody's going to give the media ammunition, Zim wants it to be him, right,
yeah,
instead of somebody else
yeah
giving us ammunition. And now he's kind of clammed up, right, Kirk, to some degree. He's just doing his weekly thing, but
yeah,
he isn't going into –
He isn't going into
the great expansive answers that he
no,
gave us.
No, since the plexiglass, since he was going to surround himself in plexiglass,
yeah, that's
he's backed off that.
Well, that's good. I said this before. I have never, I mean, I can't say I have never, but I have rarely had a less firm of opinion about a Viking team than I do this one because I think they have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But the vibe has been, there has not been one good thing that has happened to them since the day after the opening press conferences at Wednesday. There hasn't been one.
Yeah, because you came back from those saying,
hey
man, kumbaya.
Cousin sounds sane. Zim's happy. Everything's fine. And, you know, I mean, now, okay, well, we got Irv Smith. Well, no, we don't. Not for three weeks. We're going to turn Irv loose. Well, no, not yet. Not yet. He's got the bad knee, so it's...
I feel like I've seen this movie before.
Well, it does remind full of 2010. There's no doubt about it. But and we said early, sort of humorously, that, boy, this twin season feels like 2011. And it did, and nothing changed. And so this feels like 2010, but I still think when you look at the division, Bears bad, Lions bad, Packers overrated. I think 9-8 might get you into playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, 10-7, sure, is a cinch.
Well, they should, and they
with
should.
Seven
at least
teams
10
get
games.
It. Yeah, they should. I mean, they get to they get to start with Cincinnati. Cincinnati's bad, so they're going to beat Cincinnati, and they'll run. Dalvin will have a big day, and they'll beat Cincinnati, and then we'll all
and the
be
defense
happier.
Should be a lot better.
Yes. So I mentioned this earlier today. Did we just pay Harrison Smith? You know, Governor Walz offered people $100 to get a vaccine. Did we just offer Harrison Smith $64 million to get a vaccine?
Nobody asked that question. I was tempted.
Did he agree with $26.6 million guaranteed to get a vaccine? Did he get it?
I'm sure it was suggested. Hey, Harrison, we're going to give you this contract.
Yes.
Here's all you need to do. Keep playing football and go get the shot.
I had no idea how old I was until I saw that he's 32.
Yeah. He's been here since 2012. He played 2 years for Leslie.
Man, unbelievable. I didn't think
that
it was
catches
that.
Up to you fast, Pat.
And, of course, the one thing is he's their only safety, right?
I think they saw the safeties behind these guys and said, yeah, we need Harrison for a while longer.
They can get out of this in 2 years, though, right? I mean, they'll 2 years from now, they're going to bring him in and say, you got to take this much.
Are you kidding
in
this league?
You got to take $4 million or something.
Of course they are, yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll try and cut. I think the majority of the guaranteed money is within the first couple of years, I think. So, yes.
Now, I said he gets, he gets 16 right now or some damn thing. I think 16.
Yeah,
right
I read that he's going to get.
26.6 is guaranteed.
Yeah, and I think he gets 16 something over the next 8 months.
Yeah, whatever.
And
that
then there's 10 left, which, you know, it's a lot, but yeah, no, you're right. They will 100% pull the greenway and say, time to renegotiate, Harrison.
So, we still have a week to wait for them. It just seems odd that that you got this extra time after the exhibition game. But why are they cutting tomorrow then? With the exhibition, with the season not starting, why are they having cuts tomorrow?
They just decided to do it with the three preseason games and then the cuts. And then, so there's essentially
then
two bye weeks.
And then there'll be a lot of
so it'll be a
maneuvering.
Bye week.
There'll be a lot of maneuvering after you. Maybe they want the... Maybe they want the second trading period or something.
As they've always said, the 53-man roster we're going to see at 4 o'clock tomorrow,
yeah,
not going to be the 53-man roster.
No, but it's, you know, they're... but, you know, we are going to find out a very hard cuts to make. It was a very hard cut to make. It always
it's
is.
A devastating day. Although, you know what? I think it was our own Joe Schmidt asked Zimmer that question today. And, you know, ordinarily it's the old, it just breaks my heart to have to.
Yeah.
Mike said, it's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business. You got to do it.
Yes. I heard somebody told me that Spielman was on the telecast, broadcast, simulcast,
third
quarter, as they were stinking it out something fierce and babbling just nonsensically like he always does and answering no questions. And but somebody told me that when Kellen Mond threw the interception, he tried to blame it on the receiver or something.
He blamed
Is Mond
Davidson.
A third-rounder or second-rounder?
Third-rounder.
Okay. But we're tied into it. We're tied into the fact that we think he's going to be.
But your source was exactly correct, because as soon as the ball got picked off, he said, the receiver's got to do more there.
Well, there's nobody more useless with quotes than Rick Spielman. He's Rocco, but we don't get him as often.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's Rocco without the attempt of even trying to be as polite as Rocco is while telling you nothing.
How about Rocco? What? Go
yeah,
ahead.
No.
Rocco officially announcing a rebuild.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes, because wasn't it a month ago that this was in no way a rebuild? That this was, we planned to compete next year?
And was that Falvey or Rocco at the time? I think it was
Falvey.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
But Rocco was signed on to it.
Well.
Yeah.
Suhan's column spell. I mean, he said, and got a quote.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did it on a Zoomer.
Okay, yeah.
Rocco.
Asked a question that he basically said, rebuild.
Yeah, it's and it was kind of, well, when you're in a rebuild, well, okay, so we're now confessing. So you look at this rotation and say, yeah, maybe it'll have to be rebuilt, huh? Maybe it'll have to be rebuilt. I said this the other day on Twitter, and in 100% seriousness, their pitcher of the year is Caleb Thielbart.
6-0.
But Berríos leaves on July 31st. Yeah. Taylor Rogers gets shut down on July 25th.
Yep.
Who else you got? I can't give it to Bailey Ober.
Bailey Ober, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Nobody.
Nobody.
Williams Acedillo?
Yeah, well, that's been offered up too. Some of my Twitter responses was, it's, you know, Willen's got an extra month. He might get out there
Although
a few
the
times.
Analytics people won't vote for Thielbar just based on the fact he's 6-0, because they're going to tell you how meaningless those
six
wins
were. Well, I'm not talking about 6-0, but he's, you know, he's got 50 innings. He's got
He's
got a bunch of appearances, and he's been the only guy that's been pretty good from start. I mean, Duffy's got more innings, but he hasn't been good. I mean, he hasn't been as good as he was previously. You look at the history of Twins pitching, pitchers of the year, even in those years they really stunk. They didn't have to go with a left-handed reliever who was never your first option until August, right, as a left-handed reliever.
Yeah, well, it can't be Colomé, and it can't be Hansel Robles.
No, it might. You know, we have, there might have been a year that we passed on the Upper Midwest player. Maybe not. Was it rookie a year? Maybe we passed.
You didn't elect
we passed on one year. We might have to pass. Might have to not. The local BBWAA chapter might have to pass on naming a pitcher of the year.
Wouldn't blame
there
you guys.
There isn't one. No, I mean, you know, it's.
How about the last 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? And they won two of them. But how about the starting pitchers they trotted out?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Andrew Albers, who's been here, 2013 and 16.
Great guy.
Your guy, Charlie Barnes.
Charlie Barnes, Saturday. Who got sent out, I see.
And Griffin Jax, who got shelled.
Griffin Jax, who did get shelled, yes. And then you get your Ober today. How are they doing in Detroit today, by the way? They should be almost over, shouldn't they?
They were winning 3-1 when I left.
Oh, okay.
Donaldson had hit a two-run homer.
That's Ober, right?
It was Bailey Ober, yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, he might be your pitcher of the year.
Well, he's your hope that he's going to be good next year.
Yeah, they only let him pitch six max, but if he's sailing, so.
It is 3-2 Twins in the bottom of the eighth.
Oh, come on, boys. This is a big one. Can you believe they made him fly into Detroit to play this game?
No,
why are we doing that?
I don't know.
I've said this morning on Twitter that for years, if you had a rainout of two teams, this is when it's a 10-team league going way back, and it's meaningless. You don't make it up unless it's the day after the season when it means something.
I have no idea why
they fly
them
in. I can see them making them fly into New York for that one.
Because
the Yankees,
don't need it.
Are in the contention. But these two teams, it doesn't make any difference.
Although, if you're the Twins, could you forfeit that game?
Yeah, you could.
Could you call them and say, look?
You could say, we're not showing up.
Could you call them and say, look, it's the Yankees.
I don't think it's BSN is insisting that they get that afternoon game in Detroit on TV on a Monday.
No,
that 0.2 rating that they're going to get for that. I don't think that was it.
But I think if you called the MLB offices and said, we're forfeiting the Yankees game, they can have the win, we don't care. We're not showing up. BSN would come back with, and coming up next, one of the great decisions in Twins history, forfeiting to the Yankees.
Morney had got quite the chuckle out of me. I think we probably talked about this Friday, but when he said they rallied for the closer, for Colome, they were very, they wanted to pick up the closer. No, they wanted to take the closer and put him on a boat and send him back to wherever he came from, for God's sakes. The closer, Colome, screwed him all year. Now all of a sudden he's the closer. By the way, despite the fact that he's still very shaky, he does have some movement on that pitch all of a sudden. I saw him the other day. He's got that cutter that he throws. It all of a sudden he's got some movement on it after 5 months.
Yeah, you know what? It's too late. Thanks.
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Alexander.
Yeah, it is. I'm not suggesting it's not too late.
Really glad you found your stuff now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we ought to get are you going to go watch the Gophers Thursday evening?
I think I am.
Oof. When are we? We're kicking off at 7?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Well,
Fox, I think. The Big
Fox.
Big Fox. That's Ohio State, number 4.
Ohio State.
New quarterback.
Number 4, brand new quarterback, never taken a snap. He's a he did take a snap, but he never threw a pass. He's a five-star, I believe, freshman. But you got a guy who's playing quarterback who's played, 30, 40 games, right, Morgan?
Yep, Morgan.
And they have a lot of new guys and a few injuries. Ohio State, there's a chance.
Although your guy Fleck has told us these receivers might be the best in Stallworth and Lynn Swan. So he's already preparing us for the fact the cornerbacks are going to get toasted.
Well, if the guy can throw the ball, who knows? The one thing you got to be a little worried about beyond the fact it's Ohio State is they have it's usually taken them 2 or 3 weeks to start playing decent. Their big year they had needed a miracle to beat Fresno and
they barely got by Buffalo and there was like a Georgia Southern had them beat
and gave it away. Yep. So they haven't played early. I don't know if that's a coaching thing or what the hell it is, but they haven't played. They better play well. They'll have to play well Thursday. They're not going to win it on a fluke.
So. We will be satisfied if they cover the spread.
What, 13.5?
Is that last you saw, Dex?
Not that high.
No.
It's not that high.
No, but.
I wonder when's the last time the Gophers were only 13.5-point dogs to Ohio State. It's been a while, I'll bet you.
I think only one win since 2000. For the Gophers against Ohio State. I think they own a 40-7 record.
Well, they only have three since 1950. They didn't play them. They did not play them very often, though, back in the old Big Ten, 6-7. We were the farthest west and they were the farthest east, and they didn't.
So they didn't play them too much.
Now, the famous story, 1949, from Sid and Bud. You'll hear this one. The Gophers, this was Big Ten only started going to the Rose Bowl after World War II, as they reached the agreement to start playing the Pac-9 or 10 or whatever they were back then, champion. Mm-hmm. Before that, Big Ten teams didn't go to bowl games before the war. And then they made this deal with the Rose Bowl, and it became a huge thing to go to the Rose Bowl. And I think I think they started in 46, but it might have started in 47. But 49, the Gophers had a team, when you look at it, about eight of them played in the NFL and were really good. Clayton Tonnemaker, Leo Nomolini, you know, a lot of great players. Bud was on that team. And they beat Michigan that year, and I think that made them 5-0 or something, and they were going to go to the Rose. Now, looking back and looking at papers and hearing my old man talk about it and Bud talk about it and other guys, Sid, talk about it, and this town was on fire, and they went to and they beat Michigan, and Bernie got them back on Monday, and they were going back to Ohio State. They won at Michigan, and they were going the next week to Ohio State, take the train to Columbus, you know. And Murray had to practice the hell out of them for 3 days. He wanted to toughen them up for Ohio State. And one reason Bud was not a hard practicer is they were worn out and beat up. They'd beaten themselves up after beating Michigan, and they got kicked around by Ohio State and lost that game and obviously didn't go to the Rose Bowl. And Bud's always – and then the next year, Bernie went 0-9, and we ran him out of town.
Wow.
So after – you know, because they had all these World War II guys in 49. These were 24-year-old
right
guys who fought in the war who were going to come back and take him to the Rose Bowl, so –
This is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this fall, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but seven of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason, to match your specific situation, including zip code, with the possible best insurance company for you. This is done for you every year because your specific situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience is working throughout Minnesota. It provides thousands of Canopy Group clients a peace of mind, knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit the Canopy Group .com today.
I'd have to look back at the whole roster, but you know, their tackles were Clayton Tonnemaker and Leo Nomolini, who are two of the greatest Gophers of all time, and so that's that Ohio State. But they didn't play Ohio State a lot. They beat them. I think they've only maybe beat them twice, Declan, in my lifetime.
Yeah,
they beat them. Hohensie beat them. Mike Hohensie beat him in 81 with Smokey Joe, right?
Here, right? At Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, and then they, then what? Who beat him? Who else beat him? Mason? Mace beat him? No. When was their other win?
Probably against John Cooper.
The most recent win was in 2000, and Ohio State leads the all-time series 46-7.
Okay, yeah. And Bernie beat him a few times back in the day, but I think... In the years I follow Gopher football, I think we've only beat them twice.
Here it is.
And haven't played them that often.
October of 2000.
Okay.
They beat them 29-17 in Columbus.
Woo!
So that was Mace.
That was Mace. One of Mace's good teams. Mace probably ran her down their throat.
And it was John Cooper.
Okay.
What was the game at the Metrodome? This is about 89, early 90s, where they had a big lead at halftime.
Wasn't that? No, you're not thinking of the Michigan. No, you're thinking.
No, Ohio State. And they just completely fell apart in the second half. I know you're shocked.
Huh. Wow.
And I think it was Goody.
Goody? Really?
Yeah.
I can't remember that one.
Yeah, although, because there were some epic meltdowns. Pre-Mace, too.
Oh, Mace had the best.
Mace had the best, but there were some epic
Mace
meltdowns.
Mace had the greatest half dozen. You could have a wall at the stadium of Mace's worst defeats. It's amazing that he survived as good a shape as he's in, you know, because he had a half dozen of them. That just think how different his.
Well, he got fired because of one of the most epic things you'll ever see.
Yeah, the Texas Tech game. But that was not even – that wasn't in top three. The one I'll never forget is I'm at South Bend to watch Southern Cal take on Charlie Weiss, the Bush Push.
Yep.
And yep. And the wireless in the Notre Dame press box sucks big time. And I get frustrated with it because I'm trying to watch – see the Gophers score. So the Gophers – march 90 yards in 19 plays to take a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go. Just kicking their, they ran it 19 times against, was that Wisconsin?
Yep.
Was it Wisconsin?
Yep.
Against Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I close up my computer, and about 15 minutes later, the guy next to me says, geez, Minnesota lost that game. I said, the hell are you talking about? They had 400 yards rushing. They just had a 19-play, 90-yard drive. They didn't lose that game. He said, yeah, they lost the game. And that was the crazy punt, right?
Yes. In the end zone.
The kid that tried to kick it instead of take a safety or
instead
something.
Instead of going out, yes, of the end zone.
And then it kicked it and missed it. And the ball went loose.
Oh,
yeah, that was that was an all-timer.
Here it is.
The Purdue one was the worst, though, because there's – that they let him run the team out and kick the 50-yard field goal to tie him with one.
And there was a Hail Mary at the Metrodome by Northwestern, right?
Yeah, yeah, that one too. That Zeus Stock or whatever his name was. Yeah.
So here, Patrick, October of '89, the Gophers are playing the Buckeyes at the Metrodome. Halftime, or just before halftime, Minnesota 31, Ohio State nothing.
What?
They lost.
How come I can't remember that game?
They lost the game.
Wow.
31 rip.
Yes.
Who the hell was coaching Ohio State then?
That was probably John Cooper as well. He was there for a long time.
Earl Bruce was gone by then, right?
Yes, I think Earl Bruce was gone by then. But that's one of the great – that's probably the greatest –
what was the final?
Goody meltdown. I'm trying to find it here.
Well, Goody didn't have that many meltdowns.
Well, then the Michigan game, what was that? Was that 38-10, I think? I think that was
– oh,
No, they never led that much. But
no?
They
okay.
But they did.
Was three possessions.
They cut the lead to 28-21, Michigan. And then the quarterback, Kalik ran like 60 yards for a touchdown to put them ahead. And they were going to, then you knew they were going to win the game. And then they got beat 38-35, right?
Mm-hmm.
38-35.
Who,
yeah.
Who was the running back who went on to a pretty.
Maroney.
No, for Michigan. Chris Henry?
No, the kid they threw the all those screen little
yes.
little
yeah. And just second half little, bang bang bang.
They just their whole offense was throwing little passes in the right flat.
Braylon Edwards is on that Michigan team
man,
too.
Man, what the hell was that name? My favorite Michigan Gopher game though was the Devin Howard game when the World Series was being held here or the playoffs. I think the World Series. So they moved the game up to Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the Star Tribune. I finished writing, and I left the Star Tribune, and they were just getting ready to kick off. And I'm not a real fast walker, but or Desmond Howard. But I walked over to the Metrodome, so it takes, 12 minutes maybe to get in. I go in.
Yeah, you got to get to the press box.
14-0, and Desmond has two touchdowns by the time I got there. I said, what the hell happened? You know? So, but Michigan, hell, they've dominated Michigan compared to Ohio State. Ohio State, it's not many wins. But Ohio State, they could be caught looking ahead, too, because they have Oregon at home. They have next week, and Oregon's supposed to be great.
Yeah.
You know, Oregon ended up hiring that coach, and people gave him a lot of heat about whether this guy's the right guy. Apparently, he's a recruiting son of a gun, the guy they got now. I don't know. I don't know how Ohio State did in the transfer portal. I know the Gophers got. The Gophers will not.
I can't keep track of that.
The Gophers will not reveal how many players they have on scholarship.
Really?
Yep. We've been asking them for a week because they're you know, they allowed them to go over because of the COVID guys.
Can they withhold that, or is that a data practice thing?
I suppose if we wanted to.
That's what Bracken loved doing, man.
Yeah, I suppose if we wanted to get more aggressive about it, it would. But
put in the data practice.
But they just awarded a scholarship to some kid, you know, did his traditional, this fourth teamer, which probably put him up to about 98 instead of the 85 they're supposed to have. Because they gave him, they gave him free reign to add as many as they want to, because the NCAA doesn't have a limit because of the COVID thing.
And that's only for this season, though, right?
Well, I don't know. If as long as they're COVID guys getting extra years, maybe you can keep it going. But they're cutting sports to save scholarships. They are a little embarrassed by how many scholarships they're letting Fleck have.
This transfer portal is the greatest ruse.
Oh, God.
The greatest scam of college
sports. It's going to be unbelievable when this season's next year. Next year, that's going to be bigger than the recruiting ratings.
Yeah, because it's known players.
Yeah.
Like you've seen them play. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
And the kid who's, didn't make as much. Now, I saw something about the all the Ohio State players. They're five or six of them are driving around beautiful new vehicles from some dealer in town. Remember when that was a violation?
Oh, yes.
And now, likeness deal. And we haven't seen much about the Gophers. I think Morgan had something going on.
He did. He did. And he got the offensive lineman some gig at a barbecue place one night.
Okay. And how about the running back? Ibrahim have anything going?
I haven't seen anything.
He's supposed to be an All-American.
I haven't. You know, I don't think in this town, that's the problem. I don't think in this town, unless they get really good, it's going to sell quite as well as it does in the college towns. Do you?
Probably not. I don't know how it's going to work. But the Alabama quarterback is who they weren't sure was going to start is supposedly good for a mill. I wonder what the Hurricanes going to do to LS to coach Orgeron. That looked like it hit Baton Rouge pretty hard.
Yeah.
So
are they going to have to move some games?
I don't know what they're going to have to do.
The Saints are in Dallas now because of it for the week, I think.
Yep.
They just went to Dallas to practice.
Yeah. Well, it's. Did New Orleans get it too bad?
I think so.
Yeah, they got hit hard.
Yeah, they got hit hard.
But they didn't.
They lost power. And
they didn't lose. They didn't get over the levees.
Right.
Yet,
though, no. I don't think it did this time.
Okay.
But yeah, the winds were actually worse for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. They acting like it sneaked up on them too. That it moved so fast that they didn't prepare as you. I don't know. I've been down there a few times. That water looks awful close to land, man. That shore is about like this, you know. It's basically been rescued from the water, that old bayou thing and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Ed fan. I'm a big LSU fan. That was very disappointing last year because I do think this man should coach LSU football, don't you?
Much more so than Southern Cal.
Yeah, yes.
With that thick accent, he never struck me as a Southern Cal guy.
No.
He's perfect at LSU.
No, that's true. It's and LSU, what's amazing is, recruiting-wise, you can do anything, anything you want, except we're investigating Nebraska for having too many practices.
Which they confirmed on Saturday they didn't do.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Yeah, the comical tweet from Nebraska fans is investigation dropped.
Yes.
You know, Cornhuskers proved they haven't practiced too much.
He's going to get fired then.
Oh, yeah. He's got.
And what the hell happened?
He has no personality.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, where it's
they couldn't.
Central Florida, was it?
He was
a hot shot.
Yes. But he's, there's a difference. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. And, they're going to run him out of there and have to pay him tens of millions, right? Didn't they give him some big deal?
He was one of the biggest hires and hot shots when they got him.
We are not too far from back to school time. Always an exciting and busy time of the year, finding classes, figuring out schedules, and parents helping college-bound children with everything from expenses to housing to transportation. Here's a suggestion to make campus life a lot easier for the younger scholar in your life. A Bintelli scooter from EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Bintelli scooters are the fun, economical way to get around campus and town. They can be parked like a bicycle, so no need to worry about finding parking spaces or paying pricey parking fees. Bintelli scooters were created to offer the highest quality at the most affordable prices. Take advantage of the lowest prices of the year with EcoFund's back-to-school sale on Bintelli scooters starting at just $10.99. Looking for greener transportation solutions? EcoFund also carries a full line of lightweight, dependable electric Bintelli bicycles. EcoFund, specializing in economical, fun transportation at prices for everyone's budget. Check out the back-to-school sale now at EcoFund Motorsports Forest Lake. Online at EcoFundMotorsports.com.
Well, who just got fired? For all the money, the guy that they just...
Which conference?
No. Declan.
Yes, sir.
The big-time college football coach that they just came up with the money to fire him.
Was it the Texas Tech?
Texas guy.
Yeah.
Texas guy. Yeah. They paid him... Was it? No, not Texas. Jimbo. Fisher's still in Texas, right?
No,
not Texas.
That's A&M. Texas fired their guy and hired Sarkisian.
Oh, yeah, they fired, yes.
Which by the way, didn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
And who was it they fired? I can't remember. Who the heck was it fired?
It was
an incredible number.
Tom Herman.
Tom Herman, yeah. They hired
Tom
him
Herman,
away.
Who had been
they brought him
show.
Away from Houston.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd been their offensive coordinator, and then he went to Houston, and then they brought
You know
him
what
in.
I want to see?
It was like $40 million or something.
I want to see Bielema do well.
Oh, I would do. I do, too.
Just
because
he's
Bielema.
So obnoxious.
Well, you know, why some Gopher fans were here earlier telling me how much they hate him, this woman. Why? He beat Brewster 7 times, you know, so what the hell?
He was,
not seven.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he went for 2 against Brewster to rub it in. All you people who badmouth Brewster, why are you mad at Bielema for pushing it, shoving it down his throat?
There were no tears shed in Madison when he went to Arkansas, I'll tell you that.
But... He took him to 3 Rose Bowls.
I know. They said they still didn't like him.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have that lovable persona or look to him, you know. He's kind of this doofus-looking guy.
Well, their guy now, though, Crist is a doofus-looking.
But Crist is a...
But he's not brash.
Crist is not brash.
He's just quiet.
He's not out in front. The only... Crist, everybody, you know, Oaks and all those guys, Oatsy and all those guys love him.
Yes.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Because off the record,
oh,
he's great.
The man also loves the use of the F-bomb.
But not publicly.
Nope.
Although I fell in love with Crist when they're playing Miami in the
chain.
In the chain.
Yep.
And he tells him to take that turnover chain and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. That's where I loved him.
That was the easiest
but
time.
But I like the guy who thinks the players are the program,
mm-hmm.
unlike certain local college coaches. I think.
Yeah, Caruso's really.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, he's too far out front.
I loved your column, by the way, on Caruso.
Yeah.
Where you could tell that you darn near turned on him when he gave you the Flaconian speech, and then he redeemed himself at the end of your column.
And he says, yes, he says, yeah, he was going on, and he says, I'll never call this year zero. And he could see me smiling, and he said, you can use that. Yes, that was.
So their first game got canceled because
yes,
of COVID, huh?
They were playing an NAIA school, which probably decided they didn't really want to play,
okay.
So. Yeah, I mean, they were scrounging they wanted to play a couple of games before they leaped in. They got Northern Iowa in the third game, which is now the second game. They'll get beat by 50.
Is that here or there?
Down there.
Okay.
And then their first conference game is, they're here against Butler, I believe. That's their first Pioneer Conference game,
okay.
Which is, they'll be okay in that league. But they shouldn't be playing those the better teams from that Missouri Valley Conference for a while. I don't
uh-huh.
think they're going to have to.
And basketball's in the Summit? Is that right?
And everything else. Well, hockey, they're in the CCHA and the WCHA for women. Hockey's going to be tougher now for them.
Yes.
But they're in the Summit for everything. And North Dakota, South Dakota, South Dakota State, South Dakota. Hell, some of those South Dakota State, maybe South Dakota, maybe North Dakota State, in basketball, they're going to be all better than the Gophers this year.
Yeah, I don't know Gophers, anyone of the Gophers, Pat.
Gophers are going to be terrible. I mean, I like Ben Johnson. Dave Thorson. Ben Johnson seems like a nice fella. But you got to – they're going to be 2-18. I mean, they're yeah. – you can't be taking guys from William & Mary and making them your starters and think you're going to win in the Big Ten. I mean, they got Lafayette. I think there's a Harvard kid or something. You know, I mean, it's –
they have nobody back,
no,
right?
No, no. And then – two of the guys, the D2 guy that was supposed to be great, the Northern State guy, he's hurt.
Yep.
And then another one got hurt. They were going to have Eric Curry be an assistant coach, and instead they had to get him to come back and play a sixth season.
Yep.
Because they don't have any big men. They're going to be terrible.
Yeah, they're going to be.
And the Gopher basketball has lost its pizzazz anyway. They're going to have 4,000 or 5,000 a game over there. It's going to be a budget basher, man.
Yes. Yeah, well, they have to hope the football can get back to where it was in 19, or else you're going to have nothing but, hockey? And that doesn't
I think hockey would be really good, but can they ever get back to drawing more than 8,000 a night? You know?
Hockey's never going to be back to where it was. And this isn't because of the conference. It's because of the market now.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is, the North Stars left in 93. They built the new building and sold it out and had a season ticket waiting list for how long?
Yes.
You know, you can't replicate that now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they used to play they get that Frozen Five or whatever the hell, the Final Five in WCHA, and that was a big deal. Now they played it over there.
Because the Sioux fans would come in like the Brewers fans did this weekend, spend the weekend blitzed in your town, spending money and checking into your hotels.
So what happened? The Brewer fans didn't show up till Saturday then?
I didn't go on Friday or Saturday, because yesterday was packed.
Friday there was only 21,000, but Saturday it was 30,000.
Yes.
And it was all Brewers fans.
Which is why they played that game. That came back to your column it didn't rain and they didn't play.
Yeah, Rocco didn't want to play, they didn't play.
And this time with 29,000 people, they played through some
rain. They got away with it. Brewers got the best pitching to baseball, but that lineup ain't going to get them there. I mean, when you can get dazzled by Andrew Albers and who was the other guy? Who pitched Saturday?
Your guy, Charlie Barnes.
No, Charlie good. Did Charlie shut him out for a while?
Yeah, he pitched Saturday.
Yeah.
And then got sent out because he fell apart.
The guys that Danny Colombo or whatever his name is, he was dazzling him.
The Twins brought in a reliever at the end of Sunday's game who I swear to God I've never heard of in my life.
It wasn't Bearclaw, was it?
No, Bearclaw's gone now.
Okay.
Gone. They sent him out. But this was a guy with great hair, and I had never heard of him.
Wasn't he?
Garza?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
It wasn't Garza. Garza Jr., I know.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, this is 2013 all over again.
Yeah, except with more even movement of pitchers. I think that, Eon Jabal.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Eon Jabal.
Yes, because I said I'm surprised he's not playing fourth line for the Wild.
He was in spring training this year, and I never heard of him.
Player in the Can-Am League with the Saints back in the day.
Yes.
That's right. The Fighting
Saints.
Or
with the Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah.
Yeah, great hair, though. Oh.
So, anything going on with the Wild? We got the older Ben, the defenseman.
Yeah, Jordy Ben.
Jordy is so he can play a shift when somebody gets hurt or something.
Yeah.
He's a depth guy. He's not a top six guy then.
No.
Who's the who has replaced the three lost defensemen
for the Wild?
They let three defensemen go. Right?
Goligoski is the key guy.
Okay.
And they gave him a really rich short-term contract because they can spend for a year.
And the other guy was from Tampa Bay.
And is it Manel? Who's the other one?
Manel's gone.
That they signed. But they signed another free agent who has been a journeyman.
But
and Ben might play. He's just not. It's just not a sexy signing.
Did they lose two or three defensemen? They lost Suter. Yeah.
Or they bought out Suter. And then they lost Ian Cole to who signed Ian Cole?
San Jose. No, that was where
that's Benino. Oh, Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. So they had four of their guys back anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right. And those guys are fine. But, yeah, and there's nothing on the Kaprizov front.
No.
That's been all quiet.
In the past, when we've been out here, we had a microphone to talk to people on the podcast, but we don't do that on the podcast. So if you want to somehow ever listen to this thing, it's Ricey Unchained. And when will we post that thing? Sometime tonight, Declan?
Yes, maybe? Sir. Probably around 5, 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Expect it out. Yep.
We haven't had many hot takes today, though. We need a hot take.
Well, that's up to you. It's your show.
I know. We got to have a hot take to kind of give them a...
Or at the very least, a meltdown of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be mad at something.
I had my meltdown earlier today with Suits, so that's...
Okay.
I think...
What was that on?
PJ's... won't get out of the way and let us find out who's playing for him. It's all PJ being in the front. And the first story the Strib had in its college, the Gopher preview, there he is, PJ. This is, you know, on the success. Okay, he wants to build on the success. Well, they built on the success by going 3-4 last year, and they would have went 3-6 if he hadn't bailed out on two games making up COVID losses. You know, those were, he knew he was going to lose his next two. So he bailed out on those two games and then thought he could go beat a mediocre Wisconsin team and damn near did, but didn't. But so.
It's kicking.
So we're not now building on success. We're building on failure, right?
Yeah.
Which is, that said, they might be the oldest team in America.
What is the average age? Do we know?
Well, they got 2 7th-year guys, and then they got a bunch of 6-year guys, and they got some transfers that were, you know, 5 and 6-year guys.
Why do we worry about schools cheating now?
I don't know.
If we're going to,
I don't think we do.
If we're going to allow athletes to be paid and have people back for their 6th or 7th year, I think it's time we just declare it a professional sport and move on.
Yes. Yeah, I do too. Well, they're not going to investigate anybody. You know. If some other teams send in video of Nebraska practicing when they aren't supposed to, then they probably have to investigate. But beyond that, I mean, this idea that, ooh, they're cheating. And what's the other one? Herm, you know, is supposed to be in big trouble, too. Herm.
Yeah, I did see that.
Herm
yeah.
was having.
Your guy.
He was having tryouts for recruits, right?
Something I don't remember like what that it was, but I saw all. He was in trouble.
But meanwhile, I heard some guy talking about the percentage of your production that you have back from last year because of the COVID thing and the extra years. Northwestern's going to be terrible. They have the lowest percentage in the country of production,
really?
Meaning defensive plays made, offensive plays made. You know, they figure the line in this too. It's like 39% of their, you know, they only have 6 starters back, and they didn't have any of these guys. You know, that you pay the price for recruiting kids who are too smart because they get their degree and go work.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mid-Wahkatoon Sioux Community.
You know.
You get real lives, yes.
So, Arizona State is like tied for the lead in the country at 92% or something. And I think some of the others, Gophers are high too, but... I didn't exactly see where they were, but this guy was suggesting if you want to judge, this is going to be a very unusual year because of all the COVID returnees, mm-hmm. and look and see who's got their production back, and then, of course, the production of how good they were the previous year. Like, Northwestern is being overrated because they won the West last year, but they don't have any of those guys back.
Right.
And they're always...
Who's favorite, Wisconsin?
Yes. But Wisconsin's very highly rated, and I can't figure out why, because they were no better than the Gophers last year. They were what? They canceled two games, and they
Is that young quarterback that they had?
Four
and
three. Yeah, that Graham Mertz. Yeah,
yeah, he's the guy.
He should be better.
I was raving about him a couple years ago.
I saw he got his. He's got a advertisement going on. He's got something going on down there. Wisconsin, like the first day, released a statement about how they're going to work with the players and do that. We still haven't really said what our policy is, I don't think.
Yep. And I don't think I've seen, beyond the Tanner Morgan story, I don't think I've seen anything.
And I don't know if they're revealing. Maybe Flex's strategy is he doesn't want players to get jealous of other players or something. I don't know.
I would think it's a nice selling point, like Saban is.
Yeah. Yeah, Saban doesn't care.
No, and he's happy if guys see it because then they'll think more reason to go to Alabama, make $1 million.
Beyond knowing that you're going to play for the national championship or at least in the semifinals, beyond that, you can lose one and you're still going to be in the championship game. So, anyway, that'll be quite the kickoff for the Gopher season. There's no doubt about
it. You going?
No, I'm going to watch it on television.
I haven't seen you at a Gopher game in a few years.
Ah, too big a mob of people I don't know. I don't. And we got Chip as Mr. College Football. Yeah, you know. Chip is.
Yeah, but you could come and make loud comments in the press box like Sid used to. You know,
except on the from the other angle.
Yes. Well, no, actually, Sid would rip them. That's the thing about Sid. I always said, Sid, you should write that. He'd yell, you know, these guys are terrible. This Gopher team is terrible. I said, Sid, that's your column.
Yeah, but nothing will ever replace when poor Roy Tutt was the Big Ten official observer. And he'd sit at Metrodome. He had the seat over there in that little corner right in front of the John
bathroom, yes.
The one-holer. And he had there. And first thing, if there was a call that Sid didn't like, he'd go storming back there and yell. Hey. And I'd say to Roy, how many visits today so far? He said, only two in the first half. It's going pretty good. You know? He'd go over and badmouth him.
Oh.
Nothing will beat the guy. I think it might have been an Ohio State game where he chased the officials off the field.
Really?
Yeah. He went down there. He left.
Is this at Memorial Stadium?
No, no, Metrodome.
Metrodome, okay.
He left. I think Lou was coaching. Did they have Ohio State here and have a chance to beat him? I don't know.
They might have.
I thought it was Ohio State game.
Uh-huh.
And he leaves with the tape recorder and the whole thing. And there's some call that he's complaining about. And the game ends. And the officials are running up. They run up that tunnel near the visitor's dugout.
Yep.
And Sid is hauling ass after him. He's chasing after him, screaming. Oh, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was, I can't remember what game that was, but the whole press box said, go, Sid, go. Come on, Sid. You can catch him. You can catch him. Unbelievable. All righty. Well, you guys have a good fair. It's a fantastic day, and the lines aren't too long. And if you really want to haul it, walk up the hill and get yourself a gizmo.
Your favorite.
The gizmo.
Did you get one yet?
I got a gizmo. All right. I brought two back for the boys. I was going to let you guys get into one with Kenny, Rookie,
and Reavers.
And Height and Reavers.
Oh, we had no chance.
Took care of them, so you got
We had
chance.
Zero chance.
You lost. You got
with
shot
that crew. All right, talk to you.
See you later. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.